This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. In today's lesson, we'll examine our priorities and the glory of God. Now, this is the fifth in a 10-week series entitled, The Biblical Measure of Success. And study notes for this lesson may be downloaded from the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org. And now here is Dr. Matthews.
Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to a very important passage of Scripture. It's the book of Jeremiah in chapter 9. We're working in this lesson on the believer's priorities and the glory of God. Notice what Jeremiah states here in chapter 9, Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Now, you know this book was written during days of great religious fervor, but great spiritual failure. Now, isn't it interesting that so many, many times in the Scripture that those two went together? Now, we have other books like that. Hosea, you remember, and Malachi. In all three of these books, we have a great deal of religious formalism. The people were engaged in doing what they considered to be the will of God, at least in all of the externals of life. And yet, as we read the books carefully, we see that the very religious activity of the people was a means whereby they failed God spiritually. They took the very thing that God gave them, His law and His word and the ceremonial law, and they insulated themselves from God through it. Well, here in Jeremiah 9, we have an interesting statement. Verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Well, now, this puts it into the right perspective. Here we are reminded that we measure our success not by wisdom, not by our abilities or might, and not by our riches. But the real measurement is, as the text states, to understand and to know God, and then to have in our lives the values that he lists in verse 24, loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. And you notice in the latter part of that verse that God says he delights in those things. Now, when these things are in our lives, then God can delight in us as well. Well, we've been asking ourselves all during this series as to how we measure success, and I'm on page 27 now. This is lesson number 5, and it's entitled The Believer's Priorities and the Glory of God. Now, before I get into this, let me put something here on the overhead projector. Now, what is the real basis of your life and mine? Well, let me just draw it right onto the projector. You notice what it is here. Let me write it. It's truth. Truth. Now, here I'm going to put you, and I'm going to put you right on top of that. And how we live our lives is must be determined by the truth. Now, here I make this line that has to do with faith on one side and love on the other, this ascending line. Now, what's the goal of all of this? What's the goal of our daily lives as we live by faith and love? It's God and His glory. Now, here we've been working on this, and here we're right in the middle of our 10-week session, talking about how we are to live so that God might be praised and honored and glorified. Well, as I have here on the overhead projector, and you see it on the screen, our lives must grow out of the truth that God has given us in His Word. We just read a couple of verses. How important it is now that we accept this and that we make the right kind of decisions of faith and love to implement this and put this into practice. Well, take a look now on page 27 of your notes. Notice in the introduction I make the statement that in this series we have been considering how we are to measure success. We have come to the conclusion that the only valid unit of measurement is the glory of God. It's not sufficient to simply do what's right. nor is it satisfactory to do what is right by faith and love. A third element must be included in our attitude and actions in order to be a successful Christian. We must do what we do for the glory of God. Do you see those three elements now? How important it is that we understand that. First of all, we must do what's right. That's the truth that I have here on the screen, the truth. We must practice the truth and do what is right. Secondarily, as I have on the overhead projector, we must do what is right by faith and love. This is the manner, the method that God has established in order that we might implement the truth. And then, of course, the most important of all of these is the goal, the reason why, and that is to do what we do for God, for His sake, for the glory of His own worthy and holy name. Well, notice capital B now on page 27 in the introduction. In the last lesson, we learned that God has made an adequate provision for His people so that we can live for the glory of God. Now, you recall, last week we worked through the three great doxologies in the book of Ephesians. First of all, we reminded ourselves that God has made an adequate provision for us in salvation. We've been adopted into the family of God. And you recall how that section in Ephesians ends with a statement that we might be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Then we talked a good deal last week about the second doxology in Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12, about the provision of divine providence, how God has come into our lives. He has made us His inheritance. He promises to work all things after the counsel of His own will, or as it states in Romans 8, all things for our good. And that doxology ends, that we should be to the praise of His glory. And then thirdly, we consider the provision in the person and the work of the blessed Holy Spirit. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is the earnest of our inheritance, as it states in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And again, that great provision is summarized in the fact that we can live to the praise of His glory. Well, I just want you to know, and I'm sure you understand this, that God has made the kind of a provision for us so that our lives might be filled with glory and honor and praise to the true and the living God. Well, now capital C on page 27. Now we have to ask the question, where do we begin? And the answer that would summarize the biblical material would be, establish the right priorities. How important that is. This question and the answer assumes that the necessary background material is known. The truth concerning the Lord Jesus, His revelation, provision, salvation, and the daily Christian life. Now, I'm talking to you people who've come to the Thursday night Bible class for years. You understand about this. And so I'm not talking about something here that's only the foundation. I'm talking about how to take that foundation of the truth and put it into practice. And that has to do, of course, with the believer's priorities as we seek to live for the glory of God. Well, let's start out here now this evening. Notice, first of all, the background. The background, as I have there on the lesson, page 27, has to do with the necessity of priorities. Why do we need to start this way? Well, I have a number of points here, as you can see. First of all, capital A, priorities are important because they determine our character and our life. Now, let me put a new diagram on the overhead projector. Some people have called this my birthday cake diagram. Some years ago, during the Bible conference, I was teaching a Bible class in the afternoon, and I was in one of the classrooms, and I made a reference to a diagram like that, and then I put it on the board. The next day I came for the Bible class, why, lo and behold, somebody had baked a cake. It had four levels to it. And even my word that I put on each one of these levels was written right there onto the cake. It's a very beautiful production. And by the way, the lady that baked that is here in the auditorium this evening for our Bible class. Well, the sequel to that story is that we were having a house full of company that night. And we ate up the birthday cake and enjoyed it very much. Well, let me write this out. Notice again, I want to put here in the foundation the word truth. That's where we start. Now, in the Bible, how are we to respond to truth? Well, that's my second level now of the birthday cake. And what do we write on in that block? It's belief. That's what we are to do with the truth. We are to believe God on the basis of His word. Now, what should I write in the third section here. What should be the expression of my belief as I take the word of God and put it into practice? Well, you can guess. Priorities, that's right. Making the right decisions. Establishing the right values in my life. And then, of course, the fourth level would go on top of priorities, and you know what that would be. That would be our actions. What we know to be true, what we believe, what we establish as priorities will determine our actions. And you understand, of course, now that our actions determine our life and our character. Well, that's why I have it here in capital A. Priorities are important because they determine our life and our character. Now, I can put this on the board and it's no problem, but to put that into my life, that's a different matter. We all understand that. We all understand how difficult it is to establish the right priorities. But when you see it within the context of these verses and this great theme that we have in the Bible, living for the glory of God, how important it is that we understand that no amount of hard work, no amount of real loss and suffering would be worthy to think about, because God should be glorified in your life and mine. Well, I have here number one under capital A. What we count valuable and important today will make us us into the a person characterized by that value, and thus in turn will structure how we live. Now, you understand that principle in the Word of God and in your life and mine. What I count to be valuable, what I count to be important, what I make to be a priority in my life, what is easy for me to spend money on and spend time, that which motivates me, that will characterize my life in the future. I have here number two that this is an inexorable principle. Our priorities prove what we truly believe. For example, to say that we believe in prayer and then not to pray is to demonstrate that our affirmation about prayer is false. Well, we understand that. Now, all of us need to stop and take a look at our lives right here. All of us profess much more than we really practice. And the reason for it is that we do not establish the right priorities. And therefore, we fail to put it into practice. Well, I have the scripture here, familiar one out of Proverbs 4:23. Notice it's number three on the sheet. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, that shows the importance of the inner man. And that's where we make our priorities. Are you a Christian that's pushed around by circumstances? Or do you push your circumstances around? Are you a person that just lives out the kind of an attitude that is found in the lives of the people about you? Or do you determine your own attitude and action? Well, here the scripture reminds us that we are to keep our heart with diligence. The reason for it? Our whole life issues out of that. Well, this is a great verse for us in our consideration of priorities this evening. Well, that's the first reason why we need to consider priorities. They determine our character and our life and everything else. Many things could be said about that. Notice the second point now at the bottom of page 27. Priorities are important in order to live a successful Christian life. Well, now we're getting to something far more important. Notice number one under capital B. In our creation, we were designed by God so that we could live for Him and achieve the great purpose of life, which is to glorify Him. I have the verse from Isaiah 43. Even everyone that's called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Now there it is, just as clear as day. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Well, this is the very purpose of our creation, that we establish the right priorities and that we live for the glory of God. Now let me put the first diagram back on the overhead projector. Now, let me enlarge on this a little bit. Now, when we understand the truth, and when we make the right decisions and establish the right priorities by faith and love, as you see it there on the screen, and when we live for God and His glory, now let me add to it. What's the word that I should put here to characterize, then, your life and mine? What will follow when we do this? Now, when I take the word of God and put it into practice in my daily life, and I work out the very reason why God created me, What's going to be the result of that? Well, here's the word. You know what it is. That's right. Fulfillment. Fulfillment. Now, we all understand that the non-Christian lives without fulfillment. That is the right kind of fulfillment. And many of us as believers live without very much fulfillment. And I'll have to say that we're talking this evening now about the key to this, missing the real reason for life, living with the wrong priorities, not counting it important to live for God. That will cause us to live in such a way that we sense this deep inner lack of spiritual enjoyment and fulfillment in life. Notice on page 28, number 2. In the fall of man, we lost the ability and the desire to glorify God. And because of sin, the human race now lives a life without purpose and therefore without fulfillment. Notice my verse. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This verse in Romans 3:23 reminds us that as we're born into the world as sinners, that the way we live, our attitude and action, we miss the very goal of life itself, which is glorifying God. Now, why are priorities important? If I'm going to live a successful Christian life, I have to understand this, that in my creation, I was created by God to live for His praise and to find tremendous fulfillment through that. Secondarily, I have to realize what happened to me in the fall, why I lost the ability and could not fulfill the great purpose of my life. Then number 3 on page 28. In salvation, the believer is restored to God's favor, forgiven, and given the enablement to live for God and to glorify Him. Notice the verse again from Ephesians 1. Having predestinated or chosen us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Well, as we talked last week, here now, through salvation, as described by the word adopted in this verse, we're right back to the place where we can glorify God. We have the provision that God has given us in our new birth. But now I must go on to number 4, page 28. It is in our daily life that we must now learn how to live so that God is glorified. How? This is where priorities become so valuable. We must establish biblical priorities and then daily put them into practice. No wonder Paul, in writing to this church at Corinth that was in need, said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, these 4 points now are very, very important for you and for me if we're going to understand about the successful Christian life. We must understand about creation, the fall, salvation, and then how to live the Christian life. And all of this is related intimately to this matter of establishing the right priorities. Notice my observation in the middle of the page. All of these verses point out one single important truth. Our primary purpose and goal in life is to glorify God. I go on to say this will never be achieved in your life and mine unless we're willing to evaluate our daily life and establish biblical priorities. To speak of loving and trusting God or daily obedience without first of all initiating correct priorities is to make an empty and a false profession. That's more the problem in your life and mine than we're willing to shake a stick at. It's right here where we stumble in living the Christian life. Too often we go to church. We couldn't agree more with the sermon. We get emotionally upset about it. I mean in the right way. We want to make the right decision and live correctly. But in your life and mine, too often, we do not follow through in establishing the right priorities that have to do with how we live. It's so easy for us to hear a sermon on prayer, if I might go back to that illustration, and be convicted of our lack of praying, and even to shed a tear or two of repentance, and promise God that we'll do better. But then, get up just as late the next day, or just be as concerned with television or whatever when we come home from work, and never establish the priority. Now, we just can't go on living that way. If we're going to glorify God, we're going to have to be honest about how we believe and practice the truth. Now, where do we begin? That's what we're working with tonight. Where do we begin? It's with the establishing of the right priorities. Well, that's the first point. That's the background. Now, on the middle of page 28, number 2, the explanation that has to do with the meaning of priorities. What do these priorities mean? Notice, first of all, some exhortations out of the Bible. Here's one from Proverbs 3, a very familiar passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him. Well, that's the point now, you see. Acknowledge God. Now, what's the promise? He shall direct thy paths. Now, if I'm going to have the Lord's direction in my life, I have to go back into verse now. Let's start in the last part of the verse about God's direction in your life and mine. How we all long to have that. Now, what do I need to do to have God's direction in my life? Well, let's back up into verse. I need to acknowledge him in all of my ways. Acknowledge him in the budget. That's establishing right priorities about giving tithes and sacrificially giving to the Lord. Acknowledging him with my time, taking time to read the Bible and meditate on it and pray. Take time for people. Acknowledge him in all of the other ways, having compassion upon people, practicing the truth in relationship to my work, the family, my business, my thought life, my emotions, how I care for my bodily desires. In all of the ways, acknowledging him. Let's go back further into the verse now. Reminds us that we are not to lean onto our own understanding, and we are then, first part of the verse, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Do you see how these verses speak to us about priorities? Very important that we understand that. The next verse now, bottom of page 28. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's the verse we started with this evening. Keeping the heart, being diligent about caring for your heart, the inner man. The reason for it? Our life, the issues of our life, will grow right out of what we do. The next verse, Matthew 22. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Now, how important it is for us this evening to understand that this verse comes to us and it should be priority number one. I must initiate in my daily life all of those priorities and values that would express my love for God. Now, many people fail to understand the meaning of this verse. They think of love as only an emotion. And if they don't have a deep emotion of love for God, then they believe that something's wrong and they can't obey the verse. Oh, not at all. Love is a decision. It's a decision to recognize God as the great person that he is, give him his rightful place in our life, and do what's right by God. Now, we don't have to feel anything to make the right decision. We can make a decision to love God that's purely volitional. And the result of it will be emotions, I grant. The result of it will be the work of the Holy Spirit that we will discern through feelings, somewhat through feelings. But how important it is that we realize our responsibility for this verse, and whether we feel like it or not, understand it thoroughly or not, or know how it's going to be worked out or not, we obey God and make the right decision to love the Lord and then put that into practice. Now, some observation here. Notice in the bottom of page 28, these verses remind us that priorities are the choices of the inner man. They are decisions which are made by the heart of man. They are such choices and decisions which relate to basic values and goals of the daily life. Now, let me change the order here a little bit and write again on the overhead projector. And as I'm doing that, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, please, in chapter 3. The third chapter of the book of Ephesians. You remember that this is Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus. Well, now, here, let me draw this diagram as you're turning. Well, here you are. Let me put it right in the middle of the diagram. Put this circle around it. And around that is other circle. And then I write life, all of life revolving around you. Now here, the arrow goes from the outside right into the center of you. What is that? What have we been reading about that? That's the inner man. That's the heart. You see, where we have to start is not out there in life. Not at all. We don't start with a budget. We don't start with turning the alarm clock back so we can get up a half hour earlier. We don't start in this area, that area, out in life. We have to start with the heart. That's where it's important to begin. That's why this evening we're talking about priorities. Now, the priority is the inner man, the heart decision. That's the key to success in the Bible. Oh, there's so many verses about that. That's the key to success. Now, notice what Paul says about that in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that," here it is, "he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," think how great that is, "that he would grant you," to what? "To be strengthened with might," or enablement or power, "strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit," there it is, "now, in the inner man." Do you see that? This is the will of God for you and for me, that we might be strengthened with through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, with God's divine power. And where? In the inner man. Now, how is that going to come to pass in your life and mine? How is it going to be worked out? Notice again the observation on the bottom of page 28. These verses remind us that priorities are the choices of the inner man. They're decisions which are made by the heart of man. They are such choices and decisions which relate to basic values and goals of the daily life. Well, here's where it starts. Now, when I make a decision, a heart decision, a genuine inner man heart decision on the basis of the truth, do you see in that verse what happens? The blessed Holy Spirit can get involved in my life. And unless he's involved in my life, my decision's not going to be worth very much. But when he is involved in my life, then there is inner cleansing. There's wisdom. There's direction. He will direct my path, as we read in these verses. I'll understand what to do, and I'll have the ability to do it. Let me read that verse again. That's Ephesians 3:16. "That God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened," that's what we need, "with might by his Spirit in the inner man." So this is what priorities is all about. How important that we understand that. Now, I need to go now to page 29. Now, I want to present, as you see on page 29, some illustrations out of the Bible of people who did this. First one is in 2 Chronicles 19:3. This is about King Jehoshaphat, a good man. Notice the verse. "The prophet came to the king and said, 'Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, King Jehoshaphat, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God.'" Isn't that a beautiful statement? That's exactly what we're talking about. That priorities have to do with the heart. Priorities have to do with the choices and the decisions of our heart. It's the matter of choosing to do what is right. We're reminded of that about King Jehoshaphat here. The reason why he was able to break down the groves, the symbolic of idolatry, and cleanse the land and bring the blessing of God upon the people is that he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. Notice the next illustration, Ezra 7:10. Because Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and teach in Israel statutes and judgments. What a wonderful verse that is. Now, you know about Ezra. Here was a very godly man, greatly used of God to reestablish the will of God in Israel following the return from the captivity. Now, Ezra was a fine man. How did he become the man that he was? The verse explains it. Because Ezra had prepared his heart. Well, you see, when we try to live the Christian life without this, we're in trouble. When we try to live the Christian life without this inner priority, this inner man decision, we're really in difficulty. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying we can just do it by the snap of our finger. Oh, no, it takes a spiritual work of God in our hearts, but that will not start until we're concerned about it and until we start to make the right decisions. It'll not start in your life and mine. The third illustration, page 29. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, Daniel 1:8. Now, we all know about how great this man Daniel was. We're amazed as we leaf through the book of Daniel to see how God protected him, gave him wisdom, revealed himself to Daniel, how he helped Daniel to have these visions, to interpret the dreams of the king. And then Daniel was used in a very wonderful way all through that book, and he was a man who lived for many, many years. Now let me ask you, where did that all start? Where did that all of that begin in the life of Daniel? It's right before us in the verse. Daniel purposed in his heart. Purposed. That's the key. That's the matter. That's where priorities begin. Notice my observation on these three illustrations. All of this has been written into the Bible to instruct us in the necessity of making choices which establish the correct priorities. Without biblical priorities, it's impossible to live a successful life in which God will be glorified. We must surrender ourselves to God, accept the biblical priorities, make a heart decision to implement them in our own daily life by faith and love. And when this has been done, then it's possible for God to bless us and to lead us into maturity of life and service. Now, let me put the diagram on the overhead projector again. The diagram that I had there a moment ago. There it is, truth. Now, we know the truth. All of us now, to be very blunt about this and bold in your life and mine, we know more truth than we practice. And that's the problem, isn't it? We know more than we practice. Now, we're going to honor God, as I have here in the overhead projector, and you see it on the screen. We need to make the right decisions of faith and love to implement that truth so that God will be glorified and there can be then that companion of fulfillment in your life and mine. Now, that's never going to come into your life unless you make the right decisions to establish priorities and then put them into practice. They'll never be a part of my life. Oh, I could spend many, many hours telling you about times when God has worked with me and led me to make some kind of a decision that would have to do with changing my life. I well remember when God was dealing with me about reading the Bible and praying. Oh, I had only come to the assurance of salvation a few weeks and months before, and I was working for the government. And it's in the state of Washington. I was working for the government and living in a bunkhouse with a bunch of rough men. I think I was the only Christian in the whole camp. We were building these buildings out there for the government. Well, God was dealing with me about spending time in the Bible and prayer. It was a little embarrassing to me to read the Bible and to pray right there in the bunkhouse, but that's what I had to do. And it was a great breakthrough in my life when, in spite of the giggling of the men, in spite of what I knew they were thinking, to get out the Word of God, dig into it, read it, pray, seek the face of God. Well, priorities like that are helpful in your life and mine. Easy? Never. The basis of success? Always, always. Well, let's go on to the third point now this evening. I'm on page 29, and we're under number 3 now. We've talked about the background, the necessity of priorities. We've talked about explanation, the meaning of priorities. And now I come to exposition, the biblical priorities. Now, I can't deal with all of them this evening, but I want to work on this for a little while. Notice under number 3 and capital A, I have the statement, orientation to biblical priorities. Then I have this statement. The Bible not only instructs us in how to make priorities, but gives us a list of them. These are presented to us as the various ways in which we may glorify God. It's important to keep in mind that these are not simply spiritual actions. The principle behind each of these is first of all related to our spiritual commitment. That's number 1. Then decisions of faith and love. That's number 2. And only then are we ready to put the priority into practice. So let's keep those three things before us. Commitment, decisions, and the practice of our priorities. Well, notice capital B, examples of biblical priorities. I state here that this is just a sample only, and it surely is. Now take your Bible, and I'd like you to see this in the Holy Word of God. Notice now, as we turn in the inspired and infallible scripture, we have a statement here, and it's Matthew 5, as you see, the fifth chapter of Matthew. Now, I'd like to read a few statements here, verses 13 and 14 and 16 of Matthew 5. Notice what it states. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. The Lord Jesus said about us, "You're the salt of the earth, but of the salt have lost his savor. Wherewith it shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Verse 14, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." There it is, good works. Now, notice the verse. "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, that's the diagram on the overhead projector. When I understand the truth that I'm the salt of the earth, I'm the light of the world. When I understand that truth and make the right decisions to implement what that means by faith and love for the glory of God, then God will be glorified. So what is this now? Well, I have here on page 29, the example of biblical priorities would be, number one, the priority of good works. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And this means now what the good works are all about. Now notice my comment on the bottom of page 29. What does the Lord Jesus mean by good works? The immediate context has to do with the list of beatitudes which he had just stated and explained. These beatitudes, which relate to both our attitude and action, are a rich potentiality for every believer. Because we are in Christ, and he is in us, we can live out these basic characteristics, I mean by that the beatitudes, basic characteristics of the Christian life, and thereby glorify God. Now, you've read these beatitudes many times. You know that they're really blessed attitudes that result in blessed actions. Blessed attitudes and blessed actions. So we're reminded of these two things as we take a look at these beatitudes. First of all, the importance of a right attitude, and secondarily, the importance of right action. Now, what does it mean when it states in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works"? What does he mean by good works? Now I'm on page 30. I want to take this up with you now. First of all, the good work of being poor in spirit. Notice Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now what's the blessed attitude here that should result in blessed action? It's being poor in spirit. What's my observation? I tried to write it out here so we can understand it together. To be poor in spirit is to possess that spiritual discernment which gives to one the understanding of man's true condition before God. It's the comprehension of our innate unworthiness before God, of the realization of what it means to be a sinner before the infinite perfections of divine truth, love, and holiness. It is the spiritual awareness of the distance between infinity and finiteness, and particularly when that finite creature has turned against God in pride, rebellion, and self-sufficiency. It's the spiritual helplessness which causes one to bow in humility, in silence, in complete abandonment to the mercy of God. Now, in that action, an attitude of life pervades all of our thoughts and life, then how we live our daily life will cause God to be glorified. Oh, my Christian friend, I hope that's your attitude. I pray it's mine. It's just the opposite of the common thing that we see about us and even in the church. Pride, self-sufficiency. Oh, the blessed attitude of being poor in spirit, of understanding our true condition before God. What a little speck of dust we really are, and yet worth so much to God. I want to tell you, there's no place in your life and mine for anything by way of pride. Anything by way of self-sufficiency. You have to understand that. Now, when I have that kind of an inner attitude, born by the Spirit of God, as I surrender myself to Him and to the practice of the Bible, that's going to help me to live the right kind of life. Then I'll be able to live out the 16th verse, that people might see my good works and glorify God. Without that attitude, I may have works, but they may not be good. Well, a second thought here, page 30. The good work of mourning. It's in Matthew 5:4, where it states, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The comment, this beatitude again points to the inner attitude of the believer. It's the correct expression that comes when one realizes the meaning of being poor in spirit. It's the sorrow which continually flows from the heart of the one who understands the nature, the effects, and the characteristics of sin. It's the repentant cry of the heart as one stands in the shadow of Calvary and looks up into the loving face of the one who suffers in his place. To understand our relationship to God in the light of this truth will make a difference in our daily life. There'll be no pride, but humility. There'll be no rebellion, but submission. There'll be no selfishness, but love. And this will glorify God. Well now, how important it is that we understand this. Don't you see why he talks about good works in verse 16? It all grows out of these Beatitudes. Now, once we read down the Beatitudes and choose to have the right ministry of the Holy Spirit, choose to implement humility and all of these virtues, we're not going to have any trouble with the good works of verse 16. Then on the bottom of page 30, the good work of meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, all of these make it possible for us to live in such a way that God will be praised. I make the observation here that these Beatitudes form the foundation of a life of good works. How different is all of this from the public works of serving before men so that we may be praised? And those about you? You remember that when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, that he wept over Jerusalem. Now why? Because he saw the effects of sin, the lack of faith, the terrible rebellion in the lives of people. He wept over it. Does it mean anything to you? Do you have the attitude of being poor in spirit and mourning? I certainly hope so. Notice on page 31, I want to go on now to the second priority. We've seen the priority of good works growing out of the Beatitudes. Now notice the priority of prayer. Here it is, John 14:13. I've written the verse out, page 31. "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name," the Lord Jesus said, "this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." This is now living for the glory of God. Back on that chart, take a look now on the overhead projector. There it is, the truth. And when we live by faith and love and practice the exhortations and commandments and the promises of prayer, then, as I have here on the screen, God will be glorified. What a great verse this is. Now notice my observation on page 31. In this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ asked the believer to come and take his place in the divine plan of the ages. The design of all creation is to glorify God. Here we're presented with an invitation to share in that all-comprehensive and glorious endeavor. The amazing truth also found in this verse is that the Lord Jesus promises to become involved in our daily life of prayer. Notice what the verse says. "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." But now I have a question. Where is the Father going to be glorified in the Son? You've guessed it, in your life and mine. You see, this is the successful Christian life. Not only doing what's right, not only doing it by faith and love, but doing it for the glory of God. And Jesus Christ gets involved in our daily life. I have here right in the middle of that paragraph, He will do what we ask so that the Father will be glorified. How can any believer look upon such an offer and such a glorious purpose in life as unimportant? How can we? What we must do is change our daily priorities so that prayer comes high on the list every day. We must learn how to pray and then give ourselves to this important task. Do you pray? I don't mean mumbling over the food at the table. I'm not referring to praying with the wife or the husband and the children. I'm talking about something profoundly more important in the Bible, is doing what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6. When you pray, go into the closet, close the door, pray to your Father in secret. Your Father that hears you in secret will reward you openly. Now that's what it means to live for the glory of God. That's a very important part of it, this matter of praying. How high on your list of priorities is this matter of prayer? Well, you can answer that just in a moment. Do you pray? I hope you do. I hope you do. Now, I'm going to have to come to number 4 very briefly. What's the application now of this? We've considered now this evening, we've talked about the importance of priorities, the background of it. We've talked about the explanation of what they mean. We've talked about the exposition of some of the priorities. And now we come to the application, the benefits of these biblical priorities. Now here I have the chart on the board again. What will happen in your life and mine by way of benefits? Well, there are 3. And these 3 are terribly important. First of all, God will be glorified. That's right. That's the reason we're here upon earth. That's why God made you. That's why God saved you, so that He would be glorified in the way that you live. Now, there's nothing more important in your life and mine than that, that God would be glorified. Now, here it's evening of another day, Thursday night. Look back in the day. Think back in the day with me for a moment. Yeah, that's right. All of us have times that we can well remember where He wasn't glorified. Well, that shows in your life and mine that we've got our work cut out for us. We have no right living in any other way than for the glory of God. And I need your help to do that, and you need mine. So here's the first benefit, living for the glory of God. The second one, the non-Christian will receive a good testimony. That's right, when we live with the right priorities, then God, the Holy Spirit, can enable us to fulfill the Great Commission wherever we are and whatever's happening to us, will be a good testimony. I want to tell you that's important. Thirdly, the Christian will achieve the purpose of his life and be fulfilled. That's an important one. God wants us to achieve our purpose. And He wants us to be fulfilled, happy, joyful, growing Christians. He wants us to have this inner transformation where we can look in our life, be satisfied with it to some degree, be grateful, and be a fulfilled person. Now, how is that going to come about in your life and mine unless we live for His glory? And how are we going to live for His glory unless we establish the right priorities? It's impossible. We have to understand the relationship of priorities and the glory of God. Well, now the conclusion, just a moment here. We must apply these truths to ourselves and then accept the responsibility. And I trust that you're the honest person now and that you're going to take this truth and put it into practice. Capital B, whatever this may mean by way of repentance, confession, restitution, apology, change of priorities, whatever it may mean, that we must do. We must take all of this now and put it into practice in our daily lives. If we need to repent, let's repent. If we need to confess it, confess it. We need to make restitution, we've got to do that. If we need to apologize to some person and make things right, we'll have to do that. Change priorities, all of us have to do that. We must do this because God is worthy of all of the glory and the honor and praise and majesty that we could ever give to Him, and we will never bring glory to Him unless we have the right priorities. Well, I trust that these verses are a help to you this evening. May God grant it in your life and mine. Now let's bow together to pray. Heavenly Father, take these verses, write them upon the table of our heart. Convict us now, motivate us, deal with us, encourage us, lead us so that we might glorify you by establishing the right priorities. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake alone. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this lesson in our series, The Biblical Measure of Success. We would encourage you to listen to each of the lessons in this series, as well as the other topics that are available on the website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.